to the doors today. So let's hope it stays that way. Let's see what's going on today. Mix of sun and cloud. 20 to 40. High 7. Oh, man, I'm dying.
You all right there, bud?
Wind chill minus 10 overnight. Monday, mainly cloudy, 30% chance of flurries in the morning, early in the afternoon. Periods of snow and blowing snow beginning early in the afternoon, as a matter of fact. Risk of freezing rain in the morning and early in the afternoon. How many times do I have to say afternoon? Take a drink every time I say afternoon. Oof. Take a stiff one, too, dude. Take a stiff
freaking drink.
What? All right, wind chill minus 9 in the morning, minus 18 in the afternoon, clearing to a low of minus 20 overnight.
Hold on, what?
That is Monday. Tuesday, sunny skies, high of minus 4, cloudy percent, 60% chance of flurries with a low of minus 5. Wednesday, sunny skies, high of 7, which is wonderful, cloudy periods with a low of minus 3 in the nighttime. Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 10, cloudy, pretty percent, 30% chance of rain, showers, slash flurries, low of minus 4. I am just tongue-tied today.
Yeah.
You really are.
Shut up. Friday, cloudy, 60% chance of flurries, high of plus 1, snow, minus 6, low, nighttime. Saturday, snow.
What?
High of minus 5. Don't worry, that won't stick around. If I had to guess a low?
Yeah.
Probably like minus 40.
If you had to guess a low.
Yeah. I'm just guessing.
You do the weather a lot, so it's kind of an educated guess,
really. Thank you. Thank you. Finally, someone's making sense around here. We're sitting at 2 degrees with the wind chill.
What's it feel like?
2 degrees.
Ah.
So that's nice. Cool. Not much of a wind chill. It's 11:01, and that has been your weather.
Is it 11:01, though? Tony?
Whether you like it or not.
Don't get me started.
It's 11:01. 11:01, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, it's 11:01.
Oh, God. You're right there, Jess.
Should have ate that frog. Am I right? Oh, I gotta use that on here.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I got a frog in my throat. I shouldn't eat that frog.
Dude, you killed.
Yeah.
When are you going to go on tour with Soder?
Pardon me?
With Carrot Top.
Soder's opening. I'm for leaving you? With that.
Opening for you,
Carl. All right. Where do we go from here? That's probably the question everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
Do we go into a little bit of... We can go a little bit of spurts, because there's some stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
A little NFL-wise. We can go into chamber stuff if you like. Talk about one of the biggest heel turns in the 21st century or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
We could also talk about cryogenics.
My ears kind of perked up a little when you said that.
He woke up. Okay. That was the smelling salts right there.
Geez.
Eyes
right,
wide open.
Fine.
Let's get into the cryogenics first and then.
For 500. Cryogenics for 400, Alex?
This is just a little something I stumbled upon, okay? I stumbled upon it by accident while I was searching the old web. All right.
Your search history must be just riddled with unknown.
Berlin-based Tomorrow Bio offers cryopreservation services for $200,000.
Okay, so what does this mean?
They promise to keep bodies safe until science can bring them back to life.
Oh.
With over 650 clients already enrolled, this concept is increasingly attracting interest. So what happens, I guess they put you in liquid nitrogen, colorless, odorless, tasteless gas with boiling point of minus 96 degrees, freezing point of minus 210. Right. I just know that off the top of my head, by the way. How many sign up so far? I think I mentioned it, 650. Six people and five pets have already underwent the preservation process.
Ah,
really?
Yeah, dude. This is... I mean, we've heard about this stuff before.
We've looked into this. There was a night me and you were going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, we came across a wild video. It was just like some weird animation.
Yeah, it was like selling you, like, come and put your body here, you know,
and then we
die.
Tried to look for it, like, the next day even, I think, and we just couldn't find it on the internet anymore.
Was this just a parody account?
They scrubbed it.
It's weird, dude. The ambulance parked up by a green... let me start again.
Wait, so before you start again, Jess, when you guys were at that night, when you guys were looking up this stuff,
yeah,
were you guys the lab rats that night?
I was going through a thing with the lady, and I was kind of just couch surfing.
I was wearing a big jacket.
I wonder if when I die, can I come back? And we started looking into that.
Right.
The Ted ambulance Williams. Parked up by a green in central Berlin is small, almost toy-like, a thick orange stripe across its sides, a tangle of wires looping from the ceiling. It is one of three retrofitted and operated by Tomorrow Bio, Europe's first cryonics lab, whose mission is to freeze patients after death and one day bring them back to life, all for a cost of $200,000.
Such a money grab.
So they're already dead when they freeze them.
Yes.
So here's another question. Like, you have to die of natural causes.
Yeah.
Like, if I fall 30 stories and my head explodes on the cement, they're not going to put it back like some Lego and then just be like, just give him the rest of the body. We'll put a new head on him because his body's okay, but his skull is, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You'd have to die of a heart attack due to daylight savings time.
Emil Kenziora, Tomorrow Bio's co-founder and former cancer researcher, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cancer.
Who switched careers after finding progress in curing the disease way too slow. He thought, we can't find this cure for cancer. It's going way too... And I've been thinking the same thing for a long time, too. I mean, it's like, how long do we have to give money to these things? And they have no answers ever.
Well, we know what the scientists are doing with our money.
Yeah, we certainly do.
That's very true.
Forget the
man.
Rat lab, dude. Forget the cancer. Let's figure out what we're doing with these rats.
We got a big old pile of cocaine over here. What are we going to do with this, huh?
Yeah.
While the world's first cryonics lab opened in Michigan almost half a century ago, triggering an enduring split between those who believe it is the future of humanity and others who dismiss it as a non-starter, Kenziora says that the appetite is building. So far, they have frozen, like I said, 3 or 4 people and 5 PEPs, with almost 700 more signed up. During 2025, they will expand their operations to cover the whole of the U.S.
I feel like if you were dead long enough, like if your brain goes without oxygen for like 8 minutes, they could revive you, but you'll be kind of gone.
What is the sense?
You'll be like drooling and everything, right?
Yeah, so you'll be like in vegetative state.
Yeah, so like what? Like I'm going to die for like 5 years. They're going to figure it out. And I'm going to come back and just be like, hey, how's it going? This is the weather, whether you like it or not.
And then you die 5 minutes later because you've been already on the edge of death.
I kill myself because the world's an absolute gong show and rats are running the world.
Let me tell you this though: if you had this opportunity to get frozen, like after you die, say you just die in peaceful old man in red, and you're just like, okay, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
Would you like to get frozen
and then come back?
And then say they find this thing 700 years later, and they revive you, and you're like, holy shit!
You know what?
Like,
let's get rid of the possibility of it. Say they do.
It's real.
Say they figure it out.
You're telling me this is real.
Would you still go through with it? Say you know that you know it works. Would you go through with it?
I wouldn't.
Let me tell you this. I would like to do this. Say if the Leafs didn't win the cup by the time I die, I would like to get frozen.
Guys, just dead.
And then every 50 years in like different like increments, I'd like to get reawoken.
Yeah.
Did they win?
Did they do it?
Oh,
yet?
They didn't win. Okay.
Put them back in.
All right. Let's throw me back in there for another.
Freeze me. Freeze me.
Yeah. It's like walking in out of a shower. You're just like, all right, whatever. Close the door.
Moon pie.
But I think as a person, as a human being, you know, surrounded by all my friends and family and everything, I don't think I would like to just wake up and randomly just be around nobody I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of where I'm going. Like the idea of like being immortal. Like if you could live forever, would you? It's like, it sounds like a good idea, but then you'd watch everybody you love leave.
That's like the Green
Mile.
And
it'd be over. You know?
You ever watch The Green Mile?
No.
No? With Tom Hanks?
No.
That's kind of like the thing. Spoiler alert.
No.
He ends up getting like this like curse. He calls it the curse, and which actually probably
it is
what kind of discussion we're talking about.
I read the book, by the way, but anyway,
of course you did.
I looked at I saw the book once.
Over here, am I right?
Foley is good.
Yeah,
you know?
great book. Foley is good. So, anyways, the Tom Hanks character, he gets the curse.
He got me there.
Of long life.
He got
and
me
he sees everyone he loves die. Essentially,
that's awful.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. No one has ever successfully revived following cryopreservation, and even if they were, the potential result could be coming back to life severely brain damaged.
Yeah, like a zombie, bro.
That there is currently no proof that organisms with brain structures as complex as humans can successfully be restored, exposed to the concept as preposterous.
It's like just rebooting a Windows 95 computer right now. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's exactly
it'd still
it,
be
man.
Like,
yeah.
Still kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what? Actually, no. I'm going to start saving up, and I'm going to do this.
Well, dude, that's what all your parlays are for.
Oh, the parlay kid, baby. Dude, I hit one last night.
You hit that one, you just hit that another one. You keep
come on,
rolling
baby.
With it,
come on,
and
baby.
And then you get frozen.
Yeah.
Freeze me.
Check this out. Look what I found. It's all in bold right here.
What's it say?
Check it out. Okay. It is now possible to preserve a mouse brain.
Oh my god.
By infusing it. One second. By infusing it with embalming fluid, offering hope that humans' brains could one day, too, be kept intact for potential future revival.
That's not fair. You can't compare a mouse brain to ours. You know what I mean?
But this process, it was a big mouse, though. That's what it says here.
I mean, it was Chuck E. Cheese. Cousin of Topo Gigio.
But this process occurs while the animal's heart is still beating, therefore, thereby killing it.
So they're killing mice, okay.
They were doing it while the mouse was alive.
Ah,
and then putting embalming. It through the process, right?
So they would literally have to just embalm a human.
A live human. You'd have to be alive.
A live elder human being. They'd be like, yeah, just...
With a promise you'll come back.
They just shoot him up with a bunch of, what is it, formaldehyde that they threw him in there?
Some or type embalming of embalming one? Fluid.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So they just shoot him up with that.
Like, you know, like mummified.
Yeah, they'd mummify this guy like Gene Hackman.
Oh.
Like, yeah, what's going on there?
Oh.
All right, let's talk about Gene real
quick. I got an update on, so I have like the Fox News app on my phone, and I got an update that they found Gene Hackman dead, and I was like, what, really? So then I looked at...
This is the first time we hear about it, right?
This is the first time I ever heard about it.
Yeah.
So I got it in my... I opened up the app, you know, and then it's like signs of mummification were found on Gene Hackman. I'm like, what?
What does that mean?
I was like, so he was like...
Wrapped in toilet paper.
Yeah, some TP wrapped around his ass. Just finishing, you know...
They didn't really like... explain what the mummification was about.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, what was it?
Well, that's the thing, man. They're using these terms for clickbait, right? And then you see something like that, you're like, what does that mean?
What the hell?
Right? So
that?
You're clicking in to see what they're meaning.
When the news hit,
to explain it once you hit the link.
When the news hit, everyone wanted to go like carbon monoxide, right? Carbon monoxide, they're saying. And then they find one dog of the three dead, wife gone. And like you said, the mummification of Gene Hackman at age 95. What the hell happened that night?
Yeah.
Right. And how come they never figure it out?
And the wife was like 30 years younger than him, I think.
Yeah. Like, you can't tell me they don't have like a camera in the car.
Yeah.
Like the dash cam, like he's a millionaire. Like, there have to be cameras all over the place.
So at my at the kid's birthday party as I yesterday.
Excellent.
My uncle brought it up. He was like, hey, so they found
having an apple juice.
Yeah.
Hey, you hear about the Gene Hackman?
So there's kids. We're all eating, right?
Playing frisbee.
We're all eating, like reading, like pizza and everything. And my uncle's like, hey, so yeah, I heard about Gene Hackman. Him and his wife, you know, they he said that he found an update where he died of a disease.
Yeah.
And then his wife just happened to have a different type of disease,
right?
And died around the same time.
The exact same time. And it just so happened the dog had a wonky leg and he died.
No, apparently there's two dogs there.
Yep.
He was saying that the two dogs survived because they were set free or whatever. Like
they were outside taking a shnikey.
And the one that did die was in a kennel and it starved to death, essentially.
Yeah.
So, listen. That's sick.
We're talking about Gene Hackman. I think everyone jumps the gun when they hear about these celebrities.
I always think foul play.
Right, exactly.
But always.
It is suspicious, man.
There's always foul play.
So here, let me tell you about a couple things that I found.
Okay.
Again, too, coming from the internet, so you don't really know what's what. But I think
I'll be the judge.
I think this story is a little sadder than what it's really out to be.
Right? How does it relate to mice, Jess?
Gene Hackman died of heart disease, but his wife died 1 week earlier, around February 11th, of hantavirus. All right. I'm not too sure what hantavirus is, but she had died.
A week before.
So here's what I think happened. This man is 95 years old with Alzheimer's, right?
He had Alzheimer's?
He had Alzheimer's. An old man who doesn't know up from down, left from right.
Right.
He's probably taken care of 24/7.
Yeah.
Doesn't know where... probably realizes he doesn't know that his wife is around and is just probably walking around... just old and
just decrepit.
Probably had meds of some kind that he wasn't taking at that point.
Right.
Yeah. And probably led to his death, right? Yep. And you got the dog that was in the kennel. For whatever reason, it wasn't let out at some point. She probably croaked. He doesn't know, again, that there's even a dog around or something. It probably ends up passing away because it's, you know, not being tended to as well.
Right.
So I'm thinking that it's probably just a matter of just getting too old, not really, just neglect at some point. Jess. Right?
This does not explain one thing. The mummification.
Yeah, again, I think
he's
that's
95
a term.
And he's out of it, but what, does he just start wrapping his arm and then he dies?
I think that's a term that's used for guys like you. Even guys
found,
like you.
He was found in, Jess, he was found in a sarcophagus in a tomb. Okay, how do you explain that?
Arms
Jess?
Crossed.
Yeah. Here, yeah.
Had some sort of like
the onion.
The little staffs.
Okay, dude. I don't have much more than
Jess,
that.
Your explanation.
You're giving me with more understanding than.
Jess, your explanation with the Gene Hackman thing, his wife dying, and then him being a 95-year-old man.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay?
It does.
It does make a lot of sense, but. But what if he knew about the Epstein Island list?
But what's funny?
Oh.
So here's another thing that I
and
read.
Someone
so
took him
stupid.
Out before he...
So stupid, dude. So I read that Hackman was one of the first few that was going to be up for trial against this thing.
Yes. No, you didn't.
Yes.
And now it's delayed the whole process.
Oh my goodness.
By a lot because of his death.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I mean, that
I
is
believe
just,
that.
That is just one line that I read off of the internet of some person. I don't know if there's credential behind it.
On Reddit?
Yeah. But their name ended in MD. So I know it's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, RIP Gene Hackman. I'm not a... Name three Gene Hackman movies.
Hoosiers.
Okay, shut up.
Superman.
The Replacements.
Replacements.
Oh my God. Enemy of the State
right,
he was in.
All right, let me start again.
The Conversation.
Let me start again. I'm not a big Gene Hackman guy.
Me neither.
The Quick and the Dead.
I'm not a big Gene Hackman guy. But I know he's... I know he's revolutionary when it comes to
Enemy
acting.
Of the State's a great movie, by the way.
That is a great movie.
It
actually.
Is a really
just
good
watched
movie.
That a couple weeks ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's yeah. intense, man.
That's one of those movies.
I hate that movie. It's so good.
So I have a collection I'm growing of like Blu-rays and 4K movies because yeah. Jess, I told you a lot of times I'm kind of like getting big into getting physical media again because
yeah. you just never know,
dude. I'm starting the same thing.
Beautiful because yep. we're in the age of owning everything mm-hmm. and owning nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? With all yeah. these streaming services.
Yeah.
So that's one of those movies, Enemy of the State, that I want to buy in 4K. Because that's one, if it's on AMC or something like that, you know, it's on TV.
Yeah.
I'm like watching it immediately. Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I watched it and then you just start to, you get angry. Because yeah. it's like, he can't run.
And,
like, he can't get away, bro.
And that's technology of the 90s, man.
In the 90s, bro.
Imagine what it is now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
I mean,
too
we're all,
easy.
We're all here holding it in our hands right now.
Dude, 100%.
You know what I mean?
100%. It's, yeah, it was a great movie, though. And Will Smith Prime, like, that was... He was money.
Yep.
And Jason Lee takes a fire truck to the side.
I would say that's the peak of his career.
Dude. That guy was in the wrong place, wrong time, man.
Do you forgive Will Smith now?
For what?
He didn't do anything wrong
no,
eh? At the
dude.
Oscars a couple
no,
days
no,
ago.
No, man.
He just
any
slapped
great
the guy.
Man. Any great man.
Just protecting his
defending
woman.
Defending his woman.
If he makes Ali 2, I'll go there and watch it.
Even if his woman, like, weeks later was like, I never loved him and I miss my ex. Like, yeah, yeah. Who cares?
Who cares at no, this point?
You know what I mean?
Right. I hate Will Smith.
Will Smith was...
No, just joking. I think I'm over it, too.
Make After Earth 2.
I don't think anyone asked for something like that.
Like, come on, man.
After Earth 2.
Come on,
make
man.
Make it.
All right. That was fun talk.
Good, that's a good one
with the boys at CKU Dub.
Just lost all credibility.
Let's go into, yeah,
everything
else.
That was said, just down the drain.
You want to do some songs of the week?
Let's do some songs of the week.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh God, Sinead Dead Frog.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, again with the frog.
Oh my goodness.
God, that's good
that
stuff.
Frog's D must have been big, bro.
You know, they're testing with frogs now.
Oh.
All right, so here we're going to play a song called Orange by Ivy Lab, Two Fingers and a Montobin. Mm. And then after that, we'll play a little bit of some of our favorite jams. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm going to turn this down and play a little more Rat Detective Boogie.
Yes.
No, let's
I
go.
No, I will not. This is Orange by Ivy Lab. You listen to CKW 95.9 Lego.
It's
Welcome back. You're listening to the Medicine Wheel of Music.
It's the Burger King.
I'm Jesse. He's Tone.
Hey.
He's House.
Hi.
And we got you for another half hour.
Lucky.
You just heard a little bit of Hand Clap by Fits in the Tantrums.
Yeah.
A little bit of Sum 41 with Underclass Hero.
Rock on, man.
Good track, man.
Let me kick things off with mine. I can't even remember what it's called. Orange by Ivy Lab. It was just a beat. It was like...
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah, lots of moaning.
I think it was pain, though. Anyways, let's move around.
It's debatable.
All right, a couple little things we can talk about.
Cena?
Canada?
There it is.
Or do we have more tariff talk?
You know what? Let's dodge the tariff talk for now, because there is just a whole brand new show. We'll save that all for next week.
Cool.
Where we can all go 2 full hours of it.
Of tariff talk.
Welcome to tariff talk. I was going to talk a little bit about some of those weird sub-genre metal bands.
Right, yeah.
But I kind of want to bring up some other stuff real quick. I don't know if you guys heard, Dana White has been in the news recently because he's talking about a new wrestling or a new boxing league that's coming out of TKO, who is obviously the head of WWE and UFC.
Right.
I'm just going to play a little tidbit of what he expects this promotion to be, and I don't know, let's talk amongst ourselves and figure out what's going on with this thing.
I wouldn't be sitting here right now if it wasn't for the sport of boxing. That's where I started. And I've been talking a lot of smack about boxing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. And, you know, I'm looking forward to implementing changes and things that I think would definitely help the sport. Simple things like, you know, the best fight the best. How about that? You see a lot of guys. There's a lot of talent that we've been looking at out there right now.
How many years have I been clamoring for you to sit up there and oversee the sport so we can get the fights that we want to see when we want to see them without having to wait for it?
And,
I want to know what
Nick
you need
Khan's
me to
no
do.
Hat rack either.
Well, Nick Khan's the real deal. What you need me to do?
And reinvest in the sport. And more than 5 guys make money in the sport. All these guys that come up will all make a living. And there's a lot of young talent out there that nobody knows about. Build cards that are great from the first fight to the last fight of the night, just like we do in the UFC.
So there's a few. I mean, there was a whole segment there where he's talking with Stephen Smith and another individual there, and they're talking about a new Stephen A. Smith.
There you go.
So
who's that?
He's LeBron's sworn enemy, from what I understand.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about a new boxing promotion? Is that enticing to anyone right now? Or the way he was talking about it, and I heard a little bit from a different interview, is the only way people want to watch boxing nowadays is if they have like 12-0 records, 11-0 records. They only want to see undefeated guys fight each other. And he kind of wants to change that perception a little bit and just have great fights all the time.
I think if you're not an avid boxing fan
in the first place,
you watch a card because of the main event.
Yep.
Like, we sat through the worst stream in history with that Netflix Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight, right?
Right.
And that was like trash fight anyways, and we knew it was going to be trash, and yet we watched damn near the whole thing. And if you end up watching a good fight, there was like two really good fights in there. There's that chick who kept headbutting the other chick. Mm-hmm, there's blood all over the place. That was a good fight. And then there was another one where both guys ended up getting two knockdowns each in the fight. And it's, I couldn't even tell you their names right now.
Yeah.
But I remember it was a good fight. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to get us to buy it, you know. I don't think it's gonna hop off the page. Like, you'd have to have like five great fights
right.
on your first card for me to be like, well, he's really doing something different here, opposed to
what can
looking
change
at it
to
like
be
that.
Honest
yeah that's I think it's just another place. Revenue
right.
money revenue
it's
like, I got
avenue,
wrestling
right?
I got MMA, now I'll get boxing, because now all these boxing guys, like his MMA fighters leave and go make a big payday without him getting any of that money.
Right.
So now it'll be like, oh, how about you go box under TKO here, da da da, and then he gets that money anyways.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, here he wants to pretend like I'm going to put on the best fight. It's like, no, you're not. You're just going to grab more money.
You just want the slice of the pie.
That's right, man. Give me a taste, man. Because now McGregor goes, I want, you know, gets $100 million. Dana gets none of that money, even though he's like, I made you in MMA, right? And then so that's kind of where I see it. Though they want to pretend that it's something else, like it ain't. Get out of here.
I will say from a more of a actual, because I wouldn't say I'm like a big fan of boxing, but I do like the sport of it.
But
you
I
know
breathe
what I mean?
It. Yeah, yeah.
But I like I, of course, like the one of the huge movies that really gets you into it is Rocky and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, that's not actual boxing. That's movie boxing.
Or Play It to the Bone.
Great movie.
Is that the Denzel movie?
No, that's Banderas versus Harrelson.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's holy smokes! I forgot about that movie. Yeah.
Throw
man.
That in your DVD.
I'm gonna throw that.
How
in
How about
the...
Undisputed?
Oh,
with
dude,
Vin Rames.
Yeah, yeah, Vin dude, yeah,
and Wesley Snipes,
dude.
In jail.
Okay, I'm adding these on my Tubi list.
Dude, Undisputed was a good one.
I'm
buddy.
Gonna go to Walmart,
the Iceman,
and look in my look in the $5.
Go
DVD
to the bin,
bins.
Buddy. Go to the bin,
all the way to the bottom.
Hit the
Undisputed.
Bin. There it is.
But I will say like. I when he's talking about how he wants to see the best fight the best and everything, because I find that boxing now is a lot more about like political stuff now, where it's like you don't want to fight this guy because it's going to ruin, like you were talking about, Jesse, that the perfect record or whatever.
Yeah,
you
your
know?
Stock.
You don't want to ruin that, because one loss you can immediately just fall straight down to the bottom of the rankings and everything, right? And but if you have something like this that he's talking about, where you have like this league or whatever it is,
you can't duck guys.
Yeah, you can't duck guys.
So that could be a good thing.
So I respect that if he actually is talking about like actual the love of the sport and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all know it's all end of the
it's
day.
Dana White,
it's all
though.
About money.
He's just a promoter, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just doing his best to promote the thing.
He's the new
who knows what he's
Don thought. King, man. That's pretty much who all he is, man. He's just. He's the, like Paul Heyman. He just pretty much just hypes up, you know, all these products and everything.
I'm not a big boxing guy in the first place, but and I don't go out of my way to watch certain cards. But I mean, like you said, I mean, if there's a main event that's hyped pretty good, then I'll watch a whole event in order to get to that main event.
Like I watched Fury and Usyk 2.
Yeah,
because I was super pumped about that. I mean, it was a good trailer that they hyped it up with and everything, and I was like, okay, I'm in.
Right.
I'm in.
But I do question what they can do more of when it comes to boxing to really entice people to see this as a step up from what we're already watching, I guess. I mean, it'll probably be more we'll see it a lot more often, I guess. Obviously, monthly shows as opposed to, you know, maybe twice a year or something when we hear about
them. They're almost like $100 cards, man.
Yeah.
Like Canelo, $79.99 on DAZN. I'm like, dude, that's $90.
Yeah. If you see the guys more often, though, then you will build that name better. You know, like you said, you don't even remember those two women's names, but God knows if you'll ever see one of them box again, right?
Yeah.
But if you were to see her maybe in another 2 months because she's on a new card, and then another 2 months she's on a new card, she'll build her name with that.
Yeah,
and then that's exactly how you get
your
eyes
right?
on it.
Yeah,
yep.
You know, it's funny how I was going to mention how you got TKO with the umbrella of having WWE, maybe this new boxing thing going on, and you got UFC. And I was thinking in my head, like, how popular is UFC right now? And then you were talking about watching the card, and I'm thinking in my head, well, I didn't realize, and you're telling me names and stuff like that, and I didn't realize maybe it is still more popular than I thought.
Yeah.
But I just bring it back. I sound like an old man, but it's like I remember back in the day with UFC is when you knew all the names. You know what I mean? The Couture's, the Liddell's, the Diego Sanchez's, Clay Guida's.
Junior and you Dos
saw
Santos.
Them, and you saw them all fight each other, right? You know what I mean? As opposed to having 100 different guys. You throw them on one card. You maybe see them once a year because there's so many other fighters that have to fight.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, with boxing, if they do this right, maybe just a handful of boxers build their name up by doing something like that, you know, and maybe you can see some success out of this. Yeah.
The Miro Krokops.
Krokop. That's right. Dude.
Straight
you're,
killer.
You're
that
trying
guy was
to,
a true
you're trying
killer.
To be funny right now, but that guy's killer.
Arlovsky, bro.
Dan Arlovsky.
See, I know these names,
Don
man.
Fry. Like, Don Fry.
And then Forrest Griffin, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean? The guy looks like Jim Carrey. You know? Like, dude, I don't know. Like, other than Conor McGregor, even though he's not really an MMA guy anymore, and probably the guy with the little midget friend there, the Russian guy,
dwarf. They the prefer kid, dwarf.
The dwarf guy, Habib. Yeah, there you
Habib,
go,
Habib, buddy.
Like that's like
little man.
The little man, mini me. There. That's the only
because he hangs with Hasbulla.
Yeah, that's who. That he's the rest. He's the MMA guy, right?
Little Hasbulla. Well, he knows how to do it. I don't think he.
No, Hasbulla is the dwarf.
He's the little guy. Yeah.
And Habib is the actual.
Yeah, the undefeated guy who finally ended McGregor.
He's like a Russian Muslim or something.
Dagestani. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
For Dagestan.
Yeah,
dude.
So, and that's the only like guys I know, man.
Right. Yeah.
And when it comes to like female fighters, I have
see
zero
a peak
clue.
There, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you know Ronda Rousey.
But yeah, that's it.
That's the thing, though, right? There's only so many names even for the females.
But if they had, like, a UFC mud wrestling match, I'd be all over that thing, you know what I mean?
Male mud wrestling?
Male.
It doesn't matter. Just make it in mud.
UFC Ron Panties match.
There we go.
You know what I mean?
There we go. Now we're talking. Let's bring it back.
I will say, though, if they do go ahead and create this thing, which I think if they do, it'll be successful because I think it'll reach, you know, the casual fan. Because you guys are talking about like these like one or two fights a year that you're actually really interested in. And that's exactly what boxing is now these days. It's just it's a spectacle, you know.
Yeah.
You get these big names like Logan Paul and Mike Tyson who's from, God, almost 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's all pretty much boxing is now. It's just a spectacle to get these two guys that are fighting against each other, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. It was all name value.
Yeah.
That Jake Paul and Mike
Tyson. And he had his brother fighting Mayweather not too long ago, too, right? And it's just like, that's exactly it. You got random streamers.
And it's an exhibition and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Fighting all these guys.
But if they go ahead and do this, because they already mentioned Nick Khan's name, and it has so much value right now, especially with how hot WWE is right now. I think it'll be successful, and I think it can make stars out of it, man.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it because, like, I would probably prefer to watch the boxing over the MMA. I don't know what it is.
Because it's stand-up. You don't like that dirty boxing.
No,
you don't like the wrestling.
I don't know what
jiu-jitsu.
It is with MMA. Maybe it's just because of the whole scene behind it with, like, all the Affliction guys and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, the monster guys. You know what I mean?
The
Kyles of the world, you know what I mean?
You know, like dealing with the Kyles?
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I view UFC a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear
and, like, all the guys wearing Tapote.
The white framed Oakleys, you
that's
don't like those?
That's exactly who it is, man. You're
not a fan of those?
No, man. But with boxing, it's a little bit more diverse, if you will, you know what I mean? So
boxing is fun.
Is the availability of watching boxing, too, a bit of a problem when it comes to
I would say
the
so.
Casual
like,
fan?
Like, sometimes they'll have, like, the odd like boxing event on Fox for free or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll throw it on like, okay, yeah, and there's some guys I don't know who these guys are, you know.
But I'll watch two guys fight.
Yeah, I'll watch two guys fight. And then like the arena's packed for whatever reason, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, okay, well I don't know who these guys are, but I'll watch a little bit of it, you know?
It seemed like it was kind of like when it was like, you know, 30 years ago, once again, you could name boxers.
Yeah.
Like, I remember buying the video games like Fight Night, round one, round two, all that stuff, because I was in it. Like, we rented Antonio Tarver versus Roy Jones Jr. For like $100, and that was a two-round, like, blind KO from Tarver. I remember we were all just like, what the hell just happened? We all pooled in money together. There's like six, seven of us, and we were waiting for this fight, and we watched all the bums go, and finally it gets to the main event, and it was second round sleep. And it was a brilliant punch, but I was pretty pissed off, being like, "We spent $100 on this," and I could see, like, I remember my dad be telling me, like, those Mike Tyson fights, like, you couldn't get guys to sign up because, you know, like, it was like the Simpsons there. You couldn't even give me three rounds, you know what I mean? You wanted three rounds at least. with Tyson, and Tyson come in and he'd smoke Francois Botha in like 90 seconds.
Yeah,
know, because he was just the guy. But he was the guy. Like you would order to see, like your dad, Jess. I remember he was watching the old UFCs, and we'd get kicked out of the living room when all the boys would come over there, and they were watching the real fighting. You know what I mean? Like we'd be watching wrestling, and then he'd be like, "Hey, boys, get out of here!"
Yeah,
and it's the cage match where anything goes. Like you could grab nuts. I'm pretty sure.
You remember like when UFC first came around, and it came in like those like hard plastic cases for the VHS tapes, and it was almost kind of like something like
you see that bald cage guy there in the white trunk, you know.
It was almost like you were like you found like a porn video. You're like, oh, should I be holding this? You know what I mean?
That guy looked like Sagat from Street Fighter. He was just it's like holy. Yeah, I remember being you go to the corner store and you'd see those VHSs, and then it'd be kind of hidden behind all that, like the cage, and it's I'm like, man, this looks intense, bro. You know, but I never really watched it because it was too much for me. Yeah. I guess you know what I mean.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens out of this new boxing promotion. I don't think there's a clear view of when it's going to start or what have you, but I think it's just in its
infancy.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens out of that. You know, we were on here kind of discrediting Power Slap too, actually a little bit, but it was actually more
Power
popular
Slap's
than I thought.
Kind of nuts, though.
Yeah,
though.
It was actually more popular than I thought. To be
it's
honest,
like shot for shot. You know, like remember when you
some
go
highlights,
shot for shot
dude? They are wild, dude.
Oh, dude, you see like people just have snot slapped out of them and stuff. Yeah. Like, didn't some guys like jaw get dislocated and like? I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't know why I don't like it, but I don't like it.
The only time I ever see that thing is like when I'm scrolling like on an Instagram Reels or whatever, and then you see like two women doing it to each other, and you're like, this? Like, I'm not down with this.
I'll see one where it's one mountain of a man versus a guy my size, and I'm like, and you just see the caption, "You won't believe," and I'm like, I have an idea.
Dude, you see the big man line up his hand next to the head, and it's just so much bigger than their
it's
head.
Like Shaq on a grapefruit.
You're like, I gotta watch this. I gotta see what happens.
Let me guess, his head comes right off. Just clean, smooth, right off. Broken neck.
Okay, let's segue quickly into real fighting for a second, because Elimination Chamber was a week ago.
Yeah.
And I won't get too deep into the matches there was a big surprise at the end of the event there.
Yep.
Let's start off real quickly. Women's Elimination Chamber kicked everything off. Bianca Belair ended up winning this thing. We had Jade Cargill come back, you know, just on the edge of the road to WrestleMania, so we'll probably end up seeing her sometime down the line.
Actually, that match was pretty good, too.
It was actually really good. It was really good. Well, not surprising. Well, I mean, I've seen some bad Elimination Chamber women's matches, so this, when I say surprising, I mean
this was
one of the better ones, man. You know what I mean? So, Trish Stratus was actually in the building as well in a tag team match with Tiffany Stratton,
I skipped that one.
taking on some other people. Jackson, Candice LeRae. I don't even know who won that thing.
Yeah.
But Trish Stratus is back. Right on. Cool.
Cool.
Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn in a unsanctioned hardcore match. I guess that goes without saying with an unsanctioned. But they put on a hell of a show when those two guys get together.
It's always a really
good match. And they beat the hell out of each other.
If me and Jess had one more match, we could rival that.
Oof.
I'm just letting you know.
A lot of tables.
What if we do set something like that up, though?
One
more match.
One night only?
Yeah, one night only at the Ducharme compound.
At 1060?
Ducharme compound?
No.
A lot of tables set up around.
Oh, no. Barbed wire pool noodles?
Yeah.
No.
Dude, nothing breaks. Roll up. Quick roll up. That's it.
Yeah, he's got the ropes. He's got the tights.
Just broken bones. That's it. That's the one that breaks
him. End of the match. So Kevin Owens ends up winning that match. At the end, Randy Orton shows up. He's been out for a while, almost 4 months from what I understand. And we're probably going to see a Kevin Owens-Randy Orton match at Mania, but time will tell.
He teased the punt, too.
Teased the punt. We're going to see a different type of Randy Orton, you know, an 08 Randy Orton. I don't know if it's 08 or not, but I think it was around that time.
Yeah.
All right, finally, we got the men's Elimination Chamber match, which was star-studded, probably one of the better star-studded Elimination Chamber matches
big
I've seen
names.
In a long time.
Yeah,
I was going to say besides Logan Paul, but I mean, he's making a name for himself. That's fine. He's been in the last one, too. But I mean, you could probably find a guy who's, you know, a little better than Logan Paul. Either way, it came down to Cena and Punk, which were two of the guys that I anticipated to be the last two, actually.
Yeah.
Because both of those stories make sense going into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Someone ends up hurting Punk. Oh, yes, I remember now. Seth Rollins ends up doing something to Punk. stomps him.
Yeah.
Cena kind of takes advantage of that opportunity, which is kind of foreshadowing a little bit.
It is, yeah.
About a, something that's going to happen later on.
Not winning clean.
Because it's not the usual John Cena we see. He ends up pulling him, putting him in an STFU, yanking on that thing, and Punk passes out.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. John Cena wins the match. He's going to WrestleMania to take on Cody Rhodes.
Keeps it makes CM Punk still look strong by him passing out, doing the old classic, you know, the face never gives up type of thing.
That's
exactly
it.
And it actually kind of turned around too, where CM Punk never gives up in this sense. You know what I mean? Where it's John Cena's thing.
He can use that, right? Yeah. And in the main event, it was really Cody Rhodes and The Rock getting together. The Rock wanted the soul of Cody Rhodes, wanted him to be his champion, and we have yet to, we were anticipating to see what Cody Rhodes was going to do.
Remember when we were here last, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the Rock promo with Cody Rhodes, and he was talking about, I want your soul.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff.
And we were just...
And we were kind of confused about it.
What's going on with it, yeah.
And it's one of those moments where you're like, okay, you need, we as fans... And myself, I should probably talk to myself about this. Need to give these, give, it's time to start giving the WWE the benefit of the doubt now when it comes to these stories. Because what it seems like now is they know what they're doing when it comes to these storylines, man. And so when we saw that, we're like, what the hell is he even talking about? But when it comes to the actual finish of this, well, maybe not this whole storyline, but of like, kind of like
the segment.
The segment here about, that we're about to get into with Cody Rhodes making the decision at the end of Elimination Chamber. And it's crazy how that almost was like the main event where it was like something that you would normally have like an end of Raw or something.
Right.
You know? But to have it on a, you know, pay-per-view where you have the face of the company, the champion, making a decision if he's going to align with The Rock. And like that just shows like the power of these guys, man.
I couldn't say it better myself. We got to let these things breathe a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And we as fans, we're so like clamored to wanting to, we want to know what, we want it now, right? We want it now. We want to understand it now. What they're doing is they're playing the long game, you know, when it comes to these storylines. And like you said, he showed up at Bad Blood, did a couple little things too. And we're like, he just showed up and we never saw him till... he showed up on SmackDown, I think, to be honest.
Bad Blood was like October or September.
Dude, forever ago. Yeah, and he just came out, did a little gesture, and then he was off.
Yeah,
so we didn't think there was anything behind it.
Yep.
And, you know, you can even question whether it would still kind of connects with what's going on now. But so, Cody Rhodes gets in front of The Rock. We were wondering if he's going to be a bad guy at this point, because The Rock is a bad guy.
Yep.
Cody Rhodes then tells The Rock to F himself, which is big in itself because we don't hear a whole lot of F-bombs on WWE television or programming, but this is the Netflix era, baby.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. As soon as he does that, you see Cena, because he's actually in the same ring with them, and he pop and he's like enjoying what's going on right now, right? So that's really cool. So everyone's really happy with Cody's decision.
Yeah.
Rock takes a step back. Cody turns around. It kind of daps up Cena. They give a little hug. And then the camera closes in on John Cena's face. And he's looking at The Rock in a menacing way.
Yep.
And we're wondering what that exactly means. Like, maybe does he hate The Rock? Is what's going on? The Rock gives in a little gesture, a throat cut gesture.
The same thing he did at Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cena's face quickly goes back to being nice again.
Yeah.
Gets in front of Cody after the hug, and he boots the guy
right in the nuts.
Right in the nuts.
Yeah.
Thus, turning John Cena into a bad guy.
Dude, so the night I watched this, I was actually in the States at the time. We went for a big road trip. We were like in Walker, Minnesota, which is about 3 hours from here. And I went to go visit some family out there. And then... we went to Minneapolis that day just to go, you know, drive down there and shop around and everything. And we didn't get back until around like 9 o'clock or so.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like well into like probably close to the end of the pay-per-view. So I had to like, you know, kind of race through it and everything. And it was near to the time where like it was like probably 11 or 12. And I was like really tired from driving that whole day. And so I was like, like when I said I didn't watch that Tiffany Stratton match, because I was like, I don't have any interest, so I just skipped through the whole thing.
Smart.
And then I kind of skipped like halfway through the Elimination Chamber too, because I was like, I was almost falling asleep. And then I seen that John Cena won, and the way he won, I was like, oh, that's a little different, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, well, I don't know why he... That's not the way John Cena that we kind of grew up watching how he would normally win, because he's the uber babyface, man. Like, the ultimate babyface, the Make-A-Wish king, pretty much, you know, for kids and everything. Yeah. You know, he's been a face pretty much for, like, 20 years up until, you know, since the Thuganomics thing. And, you know, then he went into the superhero, Superman, you know, John Cena character. And so I was like, okay, this, you know, it's going to be Cena and Cody Rhodes. You have, like, these two ultimate baby faces. It's almost pretty much like how Hogan and Macho Man are going at each other. You know, sure. There wasn't necessarily a heel in that thing, you know. And then when he kicked him in the nuts, dude, I literally sat up from the bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell did he? I was like, really?
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
Okay, the trigger has been pulled.
Dude, I literally had to rewind. I was like, what just happened?
Dude.
I had to watch it again. I was like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, so what an insane moment, right? This is something that a lot of people were looking for back in the day.
We didn't
think we'd ever get it, and for good reason, because like you said, this guy holds records, Guinness records for Make-A-Wish and everything, right? He is the ultimate good guy.
Yep.
For this situation to happen, it was unreal. It kind of shook the world. It was even on, like, First Take the next day. You know what I mean? Like, people were talking about it. John Cena is a bad guy now. We need a bad guy for this match. And what a turn of events in order to really promote this match for Mania. Night two, I imagine.
Dude, like, when Cena won, I was like, okay, you know, I'll watch the match.
Yeah.
But when he turned, man, it's like, I have to watch
right.
the match. And even more importantly, I have to know why he did it.
Yeah.
Because we haven't heard from John Cena yet.
And there's no promotion for him yet.
No. Nothing. There's nothing of him.
And I'm clamoring to hear that first promo.
Yeah. And what music is he going to have?
Dude.
You know what I mean? Like, what, like, is he still going to do the whole never give up or whatever?
There's an old interview with Chris Van Vliet where he talks about how close he was to turning. So he got new gear already. He had new music already. He had a bunch of new things all ready for that turn and then decided not to do it. Does he go back to those? Who knows?
Huh.
But we'll see what happens. Only a few minutes left here. But I mean, this is making for a hell of a WrestleMania.
Yeah. And dude, like, just to add some context to the reason why he would do this.
Sure.
For the people who may not know exactly why John Cena would turn. This is his farewell tour. Like, this is... 2025 is his, like, last year of wrestling. And he is at 16 title reigns, which matches the record of Ric Flair's 16 title reigns. So if he wins the next one, he'll be like the most winningest champ or whatever. He'll have that 17th title reign.
Mm.
And so essentially, by him doing this, by kicking Cody Rhodes in the nuts with this, is essentially selling his soul to get to that 17th title that he really wants, man.
Dude.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's so much story behind this.
I can buy it, dude.
Yeah.
I can buy it.
That's crazy.
I'm psyched for it. And a whole lot more coming up. That's about 5-6 weeks away, I guess, till Mania. Until then, we'll give you guys a little bit about what's going on, kind of keep you in tune with the Mania, the road to WrestleMania.
Dude, and like, does he win? Like, that's the whole thing too, man.
If I had to guess, I'm just going to play... I'm just going to guess what's going to happen. I feel like John Cena is going to win that match.
Mm.
And then I think Punk is going to be the one to beat that title off of him.
Okay, yeah.
In the future, like, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a rematch too. Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a Cody Rhodes rematch too, but I can see Rhodes in the rematch losing again because of some type of interference, him starting a new thing, you know what I mean? And this way he's not actually getting beat twice.
Right.
And, Punk and Cena go at it with those promos, those heat promos. It would be awesome too. I'm only guessing.
And dude, like, just
I'm not part of the booking.
Not yet. We're coming closely on the show, but I gotta say, like, there's someone who's really missing out of this whole thing, man. And that's the Tribal Chief, man.
Right.
Like, you can't have a WrestleMania without the Roman Reigns being there.
He's gonna be back soon.
So it's kinda like, how does he fit in all this, man?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, is he gonna be with Cody? Like, obviously he was like helping Cody out and everything, but it's like it's his own cousin that he's going against and everything, and like the bloodline is kind of faded away now, you know. And but like Roman Reigns still has that star power, man. So like, how does he all fit in this thing? And there's still the whole thing with CM Punk talking to Paul Heyman saying, you like,
Just a favor.
You owe me this favor or whatever for helping him at the War Games match. You know, so it's like, how does Punk now fit into that?
We're going to find out, man. Like, we're on the road right now. We're going to keep everyone in tune. We don't have a whole lot of time, actually. We got to go. House.
Yeah.
Cena's a heel. Pretty cool, eh?
It was neat.
Okay.
Next question.
Excellent work. Stick around. Neon Beige coming up next. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Until then, this is Bad Bad Man, Cena.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
We'll catch you guys later, man. Peace.
My champ. Rock on.
Oh, done did it now. Chaos, you should have put this one in the vault, man. They not ready. They don't know what's coming, man. Are we going to drop this on them right here? Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for none of this. Your boy's a bad man. Then we invading the streets. Make them clap a rapper skirt. They be dropping the heat. Shock the world. Now I'm standing alone. I flip fools like them clamshell cellular phones. You can't help but nod your head to the track. Fuck the water down rap. We be taking it back. Give it to me straight. Ain't no chasing it. Check yourself in the mirror. Ain't no facing it. Cause you playing the role and you planning to fold. It's the master plan. We got the planet on hold. We all over the streets like your favorite sneaker. Breaking up your sound like a drive-through speaker. Everything that I be spitting is strong. After I rock, fast forward through the rest of the song. We the monkey wrench that's gonna ruin your plan. And don't fuck with y'all, Cena. I'm a bad, bad man.
With the mic in my hands, I'm a bad man. Even in a fight with my hands, I'm a bad man. Living in the streets all my life, I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man, I'm a bad man. With the mic in my hands, I'm a bad man. Even in the fight with the hands, I'm a bad man. Living in the streets all my life, I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man, I'm a bad man.
We devils, rocking ambient levels. We set loose among hot tunes to instrumentals. And cats got one-liners, I dropped several. Man, I think it's funny you choose. Losing progress or running in place. We making moves, and y'all settle. I rip rappers and take responsibility for making future Hall of Famers look third rate. Y'all are lost for words like conversation on your worst verse. Dating ride beats, creep through side streets. Loose leaf notepads, that's where rhymes leak. Punchlines, man, don't even beg. I got knees slapping tracks, y'all bruising your leg. You a rhyme writer, buddy, man, that's a joke. You ain't worthy of being my secretary, man, that's a quote. A flood track,